Come plead in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned blood for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned blood for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee each one supply, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more. Complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned blood for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete indeed, no more shall sin, thy grace hath conquered reign within. Thy voice shall be
I'm Big brain staring into microscopes is what I thought the American Cancer Society was. So
Savior. Tell me if this is coming in here on this microphone. I'm really not sure right now, so let me know. It looks like it is coming in on number one here. So let me know if I've got it here. Let me know here. Just doing some tests here to find out. If it's coming in clear. Testing, 1, 2. All right, well, I think I got it. For now, I guess. We'll see. It sounds like some trucker is like Jake breaking right outside my door here. I don't know if you can hear that at all, but for some reason my throat is all kinds of crazy here today. It's not sore or anything, but it's just kind of hoarse. And... anyway, I don't know what the deal is, but I'm glad you can hear me okay, and we'll get started here late, of course. I'm about 25, 30 minutes late because I was trying to figure this out. I don't even know if this, well, it looks like the other microphone is off, so whatever the case may be, it looks like it's working okay now. Maybe my throat's this way because I preached two messages yesterday. Both of them were over an hour. And I think I preached my guts out yesterday, being back home, and let's see here. I preached this message here. It looks like both of them are on here. No, maybe it isn't. Yeah, maybe this one is. Running the rate, thorns, God's gifts delivered by Satan. Listen to that if you haven't. And then the other one was running the race with patience. And I think you ought to listen to that if you haven't yet. Both of those. I think they'd be helpful to you.
Oh, God teaches us patience.
Look, I walked away. I'm like invisible there. There I am. Okay. Anyway, so listen to that one when you get a chance. It'll be a blessing to you. Both of them will. And we'll get into Kanye and the crew here in a few minutes. We're gonna actually go through this video here, and we're going to talk about this video. This video, it deals with Kanye. It deals with, it's his sort of testimony that he's giving here. And we're going to break down this testimony time that he gives here today. And I want to show you some things. Now, first of all, I think it's important that you understand who Joel Osteen really is. I mean, most of you know who he is, old Smiley, Smiley Joe. We know who he is. And it isn't it shouldn't be surprising that these two birds flock together, right? It really shouldn't. But the Bible says that these spirits, that they would join themselves together, you know, these people, and they would try to seduce many, and they're lying spirits and false spirits. But here's the thing: they are so close. So very close to the truth in some ways that people are deceived and can be deceived. People that don't study their Bibles and they don't read and they don't pray. And they can be deceived rather easily. And that really is what's going on here. So we're going to play this video. And I'm going to stop at different intervals here. And we're going to talk about it. I want you to keep in mind that Joel Osteen is the same guy that showed up with his wife at the Lady Gaga concert, okay? I mean,
about
these are
Joel Osteen celebrating LGBTQ.
I mean, celebrating LGBTQ
area topic all.
And I'm not recommending this guy or anything like that. What I'm saying is that, you know, he's reporting on this. Everybody did. I mean, I talked about it.
I am your host, Pastor James Pitt.
Concert.
Also, that she also spoke of her advocacy for those who identify as homosexuals and transgenders.
Right. So, I mean, what he's talking about is true here. He's talking about how the fact that Joel Osteen is a promoter of the LGBTQ. And we know that from experience-wise and seeing all of it.
Hey, everybody!
So, do you think that all of these people would come to see biblical preaching? Just look at this crowd here. Do you think that all these people would come to see Bible preaching? Come to hear the Word of God preached, or do they come for a show? So, we'll get into it here, and we'll start looking into it. You're going to see that basically what Kanye says here, it's a hodgepodge of a mess. And anyway, the thing is that what we have here is a compromise of Christianity. It's not even that as much as it is. I want you to understand what it really truly is. And what it truly is, let me turn these over here. They're driving me nuts here. What it truly is a transformation. And you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it in his words. You're going to hear that he's going to talk about a transformation that takes place. That's taking place. Kanye is trying to make Christianity, or his version of it, cool. Watch what he says. Listen to his words. And then you're going to understand exactly what's going on.
Come on, let's welcome Mr. Kanye West today. Awesome to have you. All right, guys, y'all can be seated. So awesome to have you at Lakewood and just feel blessed. And all right, guys, y'all can be seated. And Kanye was so kind to come for tonight's Sunday service. And when I heard he was coming, I said, man, you got to come on Sunday morning, at least say hello to the people. So here we feel blessed to have you, Kanye. And Kanye, we just some thoughts maybe. We've all seen, you know, something happened in the last year or so, not where you were back then. Maybe you can just speak a little bit to the transition. And, you know, how are you here today at Lakewood?
I know that God's been calling me for a long time, and the devil's been distracting me for a long time. And when I was you know, in my lowest points, you know, God.
See, God's calling him. He's saying God's been calling him a long time. Satan's been distracting him a long time. Yeah, this isn't, I don't have Kanye's video, so we'll see what happens with it. They probably will. Who knows?
I was there with me and sending me visions and inspiring me.
So God was with him. God was with him. Let's back that up. God was with him, sending him visions.
And when I was, you know, in my lowest points, you know, God was there with me and sending me visions and inspiring me. And I remember sitting in the...
Do you believe that God was sending him visions as a lost man and was inspiring him? So God was breathing into him. God breathed inspiration. He's saying that his talent and everything, that what he has is God breathed. I want you to think about that, because the man has a God complex, I believe. I believe he's a very confused man in a lot of ways, but I absolutely believe that he knows what he's doing. Well, at least one of the people inside of him does. I'm not sure which one.
The hospital at UCLA after having a mental breakdown, and there's documentations of me drawing a church and saying, writing, start a church in the middle of Calabasas. And even after that, I went and made the Life of Pablo album. I said, this is a gospel.
Okay, so think about this right now. He says that he made the Life of Pablo album, right? And let's hang on a second here.
Gospel album.
All right, let's go here. Here's the Life of Pablo, which is, I can't even sneak and look at it. It looks like it's perverted. But anyway, so that's his album, right? His Life of Pablo album before. So he's saying that he made that album and that God wanted him to start a church. God wanted him to start a church before he was saved, before he was even a Christian or anything like that. Now, I will say this. I have an interesting testimony myself in the case that I grew up in a Christian home as a young man. God called me to preach, but I didn't get saved till I was 25. So I kind of understand that it's possible for God to have his hand on you in your life, you know, all the way through your life, but you not be a Christian. But here's the thing, okay, the vision of this man building a church when he's not even living for God, he's not even pretending to live for God, he's out there doing everything that he wants, you know, living for the world. And I know what that's like, but at the same time, when the Lord saved me, there was a radical change in my life and the Lord's hand.
Didn't know how to totally make a gospel album, and the Christians that were around were too, I would say, beaten into submission by society to not speak up and profess the gospel to me, because I was a superstar. So, but the only superstar is Jesus. So as I sat there saying, you know, I'm going to make a gospel album, there were Christians that were there that were not, excuse me, brother, I go into these streams of consciousness when I'm talking, and when you're speaking in the middle of it, it distracts me. I really appreciate the support, but I would like for everybody to be completely silent so I can let God flow through me as I speak to you guys today.
So he could let God flow through him. Right? So he can let God flow through him, these streams of consciousness. What's a stream of consciousness? Oh, here's what it is. Let's look at it. It's a metaphor describing how thoughts seem to flow through the conscious mind. Okay? Early Buddhist scriptures describe the stream of consciousness where it is referred to as the mind stream. The practice of mindfulness, which is about being aware moment to moment of one's subjective conscious experience, aid one to directly experience the stream of consciousness and to gradually cultivate self-knowledge and wisdom. Buddhist teachings describe the continuous flow of the stream of mental and material events. That includes sensory experiences, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touch, sensations, or a thought relating to the past, present, or future, as well as various mental events that get generated, namely feelings and perceptions and intentions and behavior. These mental events are also described as being influenced by other factors, such as attachments and past conditioning. Further, the moment-by-moment manifestations of the stream of consciousness is described as being affected by physical laws, biological laws, psychological laws, volitional laws, and universal laws. Think about it.
So, in the studio, and this studio, it's going to compare to places that you're in life where people tell you to quiet your voice and not talk about Jesus, you know, so loud. But everything else is so loud around us. When I'm in California, when I'm in Vegas, they got posters up advertising, you know, sex trafficking. Because if there's an advertisement for a strip club, that is advertising sex trafficking. Because at the end of the night, when they close up, the manager says, how much traffic do we have? So if it's a man that's going through things with his family or going through things at work and he feels he has to go there, we all end up participating, whether it's the spirits that get advertised to us all the time. Alcohol is, they call it a spirit. So we get constant advertisement for spirits. We get constant advertisement for strip clubs and other things like that. But then we bring up the name of Jesus. We're told to be quiet. Quiet that down. So even for someone who's professing God and saying this is going to be a gospel album, the devil's going to come and do everything he can to distract people from knowing how to fully be in service to the Lord. And all of that arrogance and confidence and cockiness that y'all seen me use before, God is now using for him. People from knowing how to.
Okay, so I want you to think about this. He's saying that God is using his arrogance and his cockiness now that he used it for the world. Now he's going to use his arrogance and his cockiness for God's glory.
To fully be in service to the Lord. And all of that arrogance and confidence and cockiness that y'all seen me use before, God is now using for him.
If you look at the look of him when he says that, it is strikingly eerie. It's creepy the way he looks. You know, and I hate to go into, like, you know, psychoanalyzing or anything like that, but the point is that it's very strange. What does God say about pride? Because that's what Kanye is talking about. The Bible says that God says, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. You know, God breaks pride. God hates pride. The Bible says God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God in using our pride, he'll use it for the sense to bring you down, but God hates a proud look. God hates it. Right? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor, let them be taken in devices. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The Bible, God says, let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. David is crying out for that. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. The fear of the Lord. Look at this. Proverbs 8:13. Look at this. For some reason, you can't look at it. I don't know what the deal is. But you can see it, I guess, on my screen. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. So what does God's word say? It says the fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. That's what God says. God says to hate it.
Because every time I stand up, I feel that I'm standing up and drawing a line in the sand and saying, I'm here in service to God, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
That's so good, Kanye. You know, Kanye, maybe one of the most powerful, I've heard you, a lot of your interviews, but maybe, can you speak any to, you said you used to worship the God of fame and the God of some of those things, and that didn't fulfill you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, because it's presented to us on TV. There's a rumor I heard where someone has sat down with Sammy Davis Jr., and this is no, you know, knock to his family, but I want to use a specific name that we know of because it's a celebrity name. We have these icons. We use it. And he leaned in and said, you know, Satan is as powerful as God. And that is the mentality that people have a lot of times when they're in service to fame, money, manpower. You start to feel like Satan is the most powerful. And you start to feel like if you service God, that in life, it means you will not prosper. And the only way to prosper is in service to fame. And it, you know, it's like the devil stole all the good producers.
Okay, watch this now. Because what he's trying to do is a swerve here. What he's trying to do here is a big swerve here. And he's basically trying to say, well, you know, the devil got all these good producers, all these good rappers, but we want God to have all these so we can produce the same thing that they produce out there. As if Christianity is one, as if Christ and people are one and souls are one by making Christianity acceptable or making it fun or using talented people that have to be talented. Now, I want to show you this, what the Bible says about that. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Paul says that not many of those are called. Not many of those people are called. Not many. God uses the foolishness of preaching. Now you're going to see what he's going to say is in his music. You're going to hear that. He's going to say that. Because the foolishness of God, look what it says here. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, let's back up to verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Verse number 21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not by putting on a show, not by your music, not by your lyrical content, not by the fact that you're this great producer, not by the fact that you're any of those things, but the fact of the foolishness of preaching. Because we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God doesn't need movie stars. I wish people would understand that. God wants to use you. God doesn't need movie stars and famous Christians and everything else. You know what the problem is today? We got a bunch of people that think that God needs somebody famous in order to validate your faith. In order for your faith to be validated, in order for you to stand up for righteousness' sake, somebody of prominence has to do that. Somebody of prominence, some football player, some baseball player, some movie star, somebody with some clout, somebody that the world loves needs to stand up and claim the name of Christ. That way we can feel validated. We don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed of the gospel. No, the gospel is foolishness to the world. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's what it is. The world's not going to love us. The world hates Christ. You know, it reminds me of a sermon that a preacher preached one time. Let's maybe go to that sermon here. Let's see here. This is old school right here, man. This is 2012.
And just understand where the world...
world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see something here all through these verses and this teaching. The world hates Christ. It has always hated Christ. It has never accepted the Christ of the Bible. There is a Christ that is preached today that is not the one in the Bible, and it is largely accepted by this world. But that's not Jesus Christ. They will accept one someday that is a false Christ that comes. They will accept the Antichrist that comes. They will accept him and his teaching. He will come in his own name, and he will think to change times and customs, and he will do that, and they will accept him. But the world will never accept Jesus Christ. They will never accept him. The world hates Christ. Notice he says, if you were of the world would love his own. That's interesting. You ever seen people that get along more with worldly people than they do the saved? Why does the world love them so much? Amen? Why does the world and the lost love them so much? Well, Jesus told you why. If you were of the world would love his own. Why will they love the Antichrist? Because the devil is the god of this world, and he will be of his own. The Antichrist will be of his own, he will be of the world, and the world loves his own. He will come up through the world, and the world will love him. But the world hates Christ. Again, here's the problem. Christians in America, and I say this very closely because it's mostly in America, Christians in America want a wide road to heaven and a narrow road to hell. They want to believe everybody is saved, everybody loves Jesus, and everybody's going to heaven. That's backwards to the teaching of Scripture.
It's not true. It's false. It's a lie. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Think about these verses. Is Jesus speaking very strong? Well, yes, hate is a very strong world. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen me, both seen and hated both me and my Father. They hated me without a cause.
Okay, well, that is classic Pastor Cooley, the world hates Christ. We'll go back to that sermon probably in this teaching here because it's applicable. I just thought about it today, just now, when we were on here. I thought, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. And I preached that back in 2012. So that was, what was that, seven, eight years ago. Think about that.
The devil stole all the good musicians, all the good artists.
No, he didn't steal them. They were already his. That's the point. He didn't steal them. They were already his. We are by nature the children of wrath until we are saved by the grace of God. And these men love their worldliness. They love their wickedness. They love their lifestyles.
All the good designers, all the good business people, and said, you got to come over and work for me. And now the trend, the shift is going to...
Oh, did you hear that? The shift, the trend, it's changing now. Everybody's going to love Jesus now. Everybody's going to want to be a Christian now. Everybody's going to want to join the Sunday experience now. Everybody's going to... All those movie stars and all those other people, they're going to want to come in and perform and do all those things. It's the prosperity gospel. That's right, Aaron. That's exactly what it is. The prosperity gospel.
To change. Jesus has won the victory. Because now I told you about my arrogance and cockiness already. Now, the greatest artist that God has ever created is now...
Whoops! The greatest artist that ever existed? I'm telling you, I think one of the people inside Kanye thinks he's a god. He thinks he is God. And he's going to revolutionize Christianity, and he's going to make it so, guess what? Right? That's the shift that's coming. That's the transformation that's coming.
Because now I told you about my arrogance and cockiness already. Now, the greatest artist that God has ever created is now working for him.
So now look at this. The greatest one that ever existed. So that's it, man. Kanye is... He's the new apostle, man. He's the one that's going to take the world. He's greater than the apostle Paul. Right? That's what he said years ago. He was greater than the apostle Paul. So now, look out, world. Christianity is going to be loved by the world now.
Kanye, you know, I grew up, I'm a preacher's kid. You didn't grow up like me.
how, you know, maybe speak a little bit to your upbringing and, you know, how all that affected you.
Well, my dad had me in church 3 times a week. For me, as a kid, you know, going to church on Wednesday instead of going to basketball practice or getting to play video games got to be, you know, a little bit boring. And my mom had me in church 2x a week or definitely on Sundays. We actually grew with the church. It was a pastor named Johnny Coleman. And we grew from a small church to a mega church, a Chicago version. I think it grew to like 5,000, 6,000. And my mom always had the records in the house and would be playing a lot of R&B records. But then we'd go and hear the gospel and hear worship. So, you know, as I now have a family, I'm 42 years old. And
so you hear what he's saying. You know, church was boring. So those are like the prisons. Kanye talked about the prisons and things like that. So what you have here is a guy that he wants to make, as Donald Trump wants to make America great again, Kanye wants to make church fun again. He wants to make it fun.
Married for 5 years. There's a blatant responsibility for me to become more like my mother, who's gone to heaven, and more like my father, who's working and building a water purification center in the DR. You know, with rappers, there's so many things that we've done where to maintain the idea of coolness. You know, we have our own daughters and we'll still be rapping about trying to hook up with somebody's daughter. Like not taking the responsibility as a man. That's why I say the song Closed on Sunday is the hardest record ever made. It's hard as the NWA record, because it's talking about protecting your kids from the indoctrination of the media, the thousands and thousands of images that are fed to children by the age of 6 or 7. And within those images, there are images mixed in that we don't know about as parents that are purposely mixed in to lower the kid's superpower and esteem so that they can be more susceptible to consumption and feel that they need to consume and become a part of the robotic numeric system that controls so much of the media. You know, I just had to say it like it is. You can rewind it and then do research what I'm talking about. But it's like
Kanye, one of my favorite songs on your new album is that song God Is. In that middle, you've got that part where, I mean, you're preaching in the middle. It's very, very powerful. And, you know, maybe not everybody's heard it, but I just ask if I could play maybe this 30, 40, 60 second clip. And listen to this. I'll get him to comment on this. But guys, roll that if you would, please.
Break down all the prisons. I wonder if the churches are the prisons.
How about that? Wow. You said more than 60 seconds than I say in my 30-minute message right there. But you know what? That's very powerful.
Well, I mean, sadly, he's right. He said, you say more in your 60 seconds than I say in a 30-minute sermon. Well, that's because you preach like a girl. That's why.
Man, you know, the addictions have to go. The demons have to go. You don't speak to it at all?
Yeah, those addictions are on us, even when you are saved and fully delivered. You know, when I started Sunday service, I started my church, which people told me I couldn't call a church because you ain't got no pastor.
See, so you just heard what he said. He said he started his church. So these Sunday experiences, they are a church. This is his church, and he's taking it around the world.
Really a church. but it was church for us. That's all we had. And, you know. We really didn't have a place to consistently go, every week and bring the family. And we started off by just, you know, having records that were good. And I'm going to get to the addiction part. Easy to listen to records and good feelings. And I had a friend that came by and said, but you have to say the name Jesus. You can have, you know, all of this good sound and stuff, but eventually people are going to need solid food. So we started to then incorporate that. And those addictions, these different addictions that all of us have, are things that can bring our Christian scorecard down. And they'll hit you sometimes. Sometimes you still just go ahead and just pour that drink and then repent for it. So we all human. We all going to fall short of the glory. I ain't seen nobody with a 23 on play as good as Michael Jordan. So Christians are not going to be Christ. We are going to follow Christ and be Christ-like and repent for our sins. But it's a lot of times when people don't want to come to Christ, they try to point out the worst Christian they ever met. But when you play basketball, you don't point to the worst basketball player. You point to the best basketball player. So with these addictions that hit us, it's that constant, you know, being in constant repentance. A lot of people who don't want to accept what the Bible says is because they don't want to accept that they are in the wrong or that they are basking and living and capitalizing off of sin. We all have sin. It's another thing to just be selling drugs in the children's parking lot.
Kanye, what? A couple of things I was thinking, man. Let's see. One of it is this. We got two more things I want to get to. Well, let me go to this other one first. What would you say to the younger Kanye? You know, some young people listening, maybe they're where you were 10 years ago or something. You know, any advice for them?
You know, it's nothing that the younger Kanye, it's nothing I could say to the younger Kanye through words. I could speak to the younger Kanye through music.
See, you see what he said there? It's the music. It's the music. He believes that the music is what makes everything. Right?
So we on a neck. This music gonna come every month. We dropping that heat. We in the studio. God is strengthening our hands. We have writers. We have producers. We taking all the most fire producers and bringing them back to God.
We taking all the fire producers and we bringing them back to God. Really? When were they ever with him?
All the best voices, all the best dancers,
all the worship for us to see that it's through Christ. I mean, following the Bible can free us all. And it was, you know, interesting, you think, you know, when we're at the prisons, you know, professing how Jesus can set you free. And it's true. The more and more this entire country follows Christ and sets the example that we are a Christian country. You know, they're taking.
See, Kanye's a politician. I mean, he wants to be the president. And you know, here's the thing. A lot of it is what he's saying. He's dropping these little jewels, but he's dropping these political jewels. Okay, that's what he's doing. And these little political jewels, he knows they're going to be points that everyone's going to agree with and nobody's going to be offended by.
They're attempting to take prayer out of schools. When you remove the fear and love of God, you create the fear and love of everything else. So let me word that not in a negative way, but in the positive way.
Okay, so watch this. You watch what he does here, because this is the crux of the entire situation. These people don't believe in the wrath of God. They do not believe in the wrath of God. They do not believe in the righteousness and holiness of God. They do not.
Reinstate the fear and love of God and eliminate the fear and love of everything else.
Beautiful.
And what I got that from, that slight difference of wording, I got that from Joel. Because there's a lot of people in the Christian community that try to give Joel a hard time, because when you turn on the radio, he keeps on showing you how good God is.
Really? Is that why we have a problem with Joel Osteen? We have a problem with Joel Osteen because he shows us how good God is? No, we have a problem with Joel Osteen because he preaches a false gospel. He preaches a prosperity pimping gospel. He's gotten rich off of everybody. He doesn't take a stand against sin at all and wickedness. He doesn't stand for righteousness at all, and he makes merchandise of the people of God. That's why we have a problem with Joel Osteen. It has nothing to do with him sharing the goodness of God, because we believe the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's what we believe. But see, what he just did is swerve everything, and this is how this is how Satan works. This is how the transformation works.
God is not the enemy. God is not the negative part. God is not just the perception of fire.
God is not the negative part. Okay, now that's Gnostic language. That there's the opposites. Right? That's like Gnostic language right there. And I believe Kanye is a witch. I absolutely believe Kanye's a witch. I believe that little Fruit Loop standing next to him on stage is a witch. I believe the wife of Kanye is an absolute witch that is the real controller of Kanye, that she is actually controlling him. I believe that. I believe that she is the one that's controlling Kanye. I absolutely believe that she is the handler of Kanye. I believe that whole family, they're a bunch of witches, the Kardashians, all they're a bunch of witches, very high-level, satanic, Luciferian, powerful witches. I believe that Olstein's wife is a witch. I absolutely believe that these people are witches.
is not the enemy. God is not the negative part. God is not just a perception of fire and brimstone. God is love, is the greatest, is the glory. God is family. God is friendship. God is prosperity. Keep our eye on the sparrow.
See, God is prosperity. Well, let's stop for a second, okay? And I want to talk to you about this for a second. I want to talk to you about this. The gospel that he is preaching and the method in which he is preaching it is selling something to people that is not biblical. He is selling to people that if you just get saved, you can do anything, you can be anything. You just need to get saved. And if you get saved, you're gonna have everything that you ever wanted. And you know what? Sometimes God wants you poor. Do you know that? Sometimes God wants you poor. Sometimes God wants you to suffer. Sometimes God, the Bible says that God appoints us unto tribulation. Sometimes God points us unto tribulation. Sometimes he puts us through it, right? Look at this. Let me show you something here. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it over and over again, right? That we were going to suffer for his name's sake. Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. The Bible says, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. God doesn't want everybody to be rich. God doesn't want everybody to have everything and have perfect health and have all that all the time. That's not God's will. Sometimes it's God's will that you have nothing. Sometimes it's God's will that you suffer for righteousness' sake. Understand that. What he's trying to push it, well, you know, God doesn't, do you know what actually what he's saying? Here's what he's saying to you. God doesn't want to take your fun away. You can still have fun and live a worldly life. God doesn't want you, God still wants you to be prosperous, have all those things.
Keep your eye on the beauty and the love and the grace of God, the grace that allows us to be here today with all of our sins, that we know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will be granted eternal life.
That's so good. I love that. When you got Kanye defending you, you made it, man. All right, okay. You know, here we go.
Yeah, when you got Kanye defending you, you've made it. Yeah, you've made it to Heretic Alley. Remember who Kanye defended. Do you remember this? I want to show you something.
And there's going to be a whole bunch of people calling me like, you ain't supposed to mention that in Sunday service, though. But this is something God put on my heart. I got family locked up. And then it'd be pastors that want to talk about, oh, T.D. Jakes said this. He ain't say he wasn't pure to the Bible. But then they can't tell you a black pastor that they like, though. It's a divide in Christianity. That's what I've seen since I've been saved. But like, since I'm an early convert, I'm just on stage. Like, take a swift, I ain't on this video. You know, I'm yay. Here's what I see. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, then you know the gospel. That's the gospel. Don't be telling me Mormons got an extra book and Catholics do it. It's simple. Christians, we be making it too hard for people to come and be involved in this.
Man, we've been making it too hard for people to be involved with this thing. We got to open this thing up.
Couple more, because I want to stay on that, Kanye, because it's not just about turning over a new leaf. It's not just about, you know, being good or being positive. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus, knowing that he died for our sins. We repent of those sins and we say, God, I'm going to walk with you. But you know, Kanye, you can speak to that. I don't know if you want to pray for the people or I'll pray for them or however you want to do that. But let's just make sure the main point is what you stand for is not just you turned over a new leaf. You told James Corden, I'll steal your words, but James Corden said, well, how do we know, Kanye, it's just not for a minute or something like that? You said, when you're asleep, that's one state. When you wake up, that's another state. And Kanye said, I woke up to God, so I'm awake now. So I love that. That's powerful. You want to say anything? You want to pray over them? Anything you want to do?
Oh, absolutely. Lord Christ, Father God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for the anointed words and the mission that Joel has been set on. The thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that Joel has brought to Christ and being that oftentimes that first step that invites us to let us know how good Jesus is and how good your love is. Thank you for bringing me up in the church. Thank you for the opportunity to have given me a platform that is so vast that no one could take it away once I've turned over everything to you. Thank you for the opportunity to stand on the stage without judgment next to one of the strongest voices in the Christian community. Thank you for having my family here today, Mike. The west side of the family, Jaden, it's his birthday. We're going to go ice skating. Thank you for... But then he said he didn't want to go ice skating, so now we're going to go go-karting. And also, my prayers do sound like this. They are somewhere in the Ricky Bobby territory. Thank you so much, God, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Come on, Lakewood. Love you, man. We love you so much. Thank you. Thanks for being here. All right. Hey, guys. Can we make Kim Kardashian and North feel welcome right here on the front row? So awesome to have you. Kim Kardashian West, sorry, and North. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here, guys. We love you. It's going to be an awesome night tonight. You may be seated if you would, please. Thank you so much.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Hell yeah. It's Joel Osteen's wife coming up there. She's going to start preaching and doing her thing. All right. So here's what you have. You've got Kanye. You've got Osteen, and now you have right here, you got all these guys dressed in black, and I think it's about right, let's see, right, I think it's right about there.
it when it said that faith without works is dead. So I want to take just a minute to repaint the picture of an incorrectly portrayed depiction of a Savior by a sinner. We've created an American God that comes to ruin the fun, but the God I know has more in store than any drink or any drug. He can take your life higher without you even getting high. Surely there's more to life than being born and living just to die. Surely there's more to life than parties and one-night stands. Surely there's more to life than an eye life that fits in the palm of your hand. And if you're looking for more, and if you're tired of choices that backfire, there is only one name that can bring the purpose you desire. His name is Jesus. Perhaps you've heard of him.
So here's the eyeball. Here's the all-seeing eyeball. And then the guy in the middle here. Anybody else think that's rather strange at all? I'm telling you, that whole ultralight beam thing is so stinking creepy, man. It is so absolutely satanic, occultic, creepy, ultralight beam, crazy stuff, man. Let's see here. Let's see if I can find this. Now, think about that and think about how this would be accepted.
Again, why? Why does the world hate Christ? Well, first of all, let's look at the scriptural truth that the world hates Christ. Some would believe the hypocrisy of this Xmas day coming is in a few days that the world must love Jesus. They must love him. Does it not strike you as odd that a bunch of secular humanists want to celebrate the same day that others do? Does that strike you as odd? No, the world hates Jesus with a passion. Mention his name somewhere and watch the ire. Watch what happens when you mention his name. People are told not to pray in Jesus' name. You can have books about Islam, but don't have books about Christianity. How mocking it must be to God Almighty in heaven as the world puts on the charade of this day coming in a few days. How the whole world puts on a big charade and acts like they love God and they really care about the baby that was born in the manger. The world hates Christ. Folks, you better take your satisfaction in the Bible and not emotional ceremonies and traditions of men. You better take your solitude, you better take your strength from this book and start deriving some strength from this instead of the vain philosophies and traditions of men. God has an institution called the local church, and he also has the family. How they pretend to honor the babe in a manger while the...
Well, we could definitely go on and on about that one, but here's something else when we talk about all things Kanye here and the apostasy and Antichrist teachings of Kanye West that I believe are satanic. Kanye West probably won't run for president in 2024, but a biblical opera is as close to a sure thing as the musical mogul gets. Yesterday, West tweeted a golden-hued invitation to Nebuchadnezzar, a Kanye West opera, set for Sunday, November 24th at the Hollywood Bowl. The invite announcement indicates the opera will be directed by Vanessa Beecraft, an Italian performance artist with music by West Gospel Project Sunday Service, Peter Collins, and Infinity Song. Unlike the Sunday Service shows, Nebuchadnezzar will be open to the general public, with the Hollywood Bowl tweeting yesterday that tickets go on sale Monday at noon. The biblical Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, circa 605 BC, is known in the book of Jeremiah as destroyer of nations. Just yesterday, West told televangelist Joel Osteen that God's been calling me for a long time and the devil's been distracting me for a long time. West spoke to Osteen. We talked about that already. When I was at my lowest point, we talked about that already. Let's see if he gives us any clues as to what he's doing with that. He's not going to. But in what direction that goes in, I'll tell you something. You know, here's the thing. These people, what they're doing and what they're teaching is a gospel that is acceptable to the world. It is a gospel that will not make anybody mad at them. Okay, this, when you look at this, who's this going to make mad? Tell me what that has to do with Bible. Now, I'm going to make people mad here. I said this yesterday, and it makes people mad when I say this. But it's like a bunch of monkeys in the jungle. Now, I'm not talking about their color. I don't care if they're green, purple, blue, yellow, gray, white. I don't care what color you are. This has nothing to do with God's Word. It has nothing to do with it. It's a bunch of jungle music.
Told my dad I wanted.
Now at this time, Kermit is one of the greatest pastors. I think he's the greatest pastor of this house. The one and only Pastor Joel Osteen coming to share with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hey. Okay. Man, take a seat for a minute. He asked me to share for a couple minutes. I said, they don't want to hear from me, Kanye. But anyway, I won't be long. I promise you. Hey, is this not fabulous? Wow. These guys. Man. We are so honored to have you guys here. Jason, thank you so much. Kanye, all you guys, just fabulous. Thanks for coming out to Lakewood tonight. I don't know if you didn't come for me, but thanks for coming, though. But hey, I'll just tell you, you know, I won't be long. Let me tell you a little bit of story. I never dreamed I would be doing this. My parents were pastors. I grew up as a preacher's kid, and so, you know, my dad and mom started Lakewood in 1959 with 90 people. So I wasn't born then, but my mom's here tonight. She's 86. She started the church when she was 26 years old. But I wasn't born then, but, you know, I grew up in a small church. People said, you know, why do y'all want to have a big church? Well, we didn't start off big, but just people started coming. So here's what happened. But, you know, after, I'll just fast forward, but after college, I wanted to come back and work at the church and told my dad I wanted to come back and start a television ministry there. And that was always my passion, these cameras and the production and the lighting. So I came back from college in 1983 or so and started a television outreach with my parents and, you know, worked behind the scenes. And I thought that's what I would do with the rest of my life. And during that time, my dad would ask me, you know, from time to time, he said, Joel, you ought to come up and help me pastor the church. I can tell you'd make a good pastor. And, you know, I had no desire to do this, and I didn't know this was in me, and I thought, you know what, I wouldn't even know what to say. And, you know, I just tell him, you know, no, Daddy, you know, you preach and I'll make you look good, but I won't stay behind the scenes. So I did that for all those years. Well, let's fast forward 1998, into 98. My father was 77 years old, and he was still speaking every weekend, still, you know, still strong, but he had to go on dialysis because his kidneys weren't working well. One Monday evening, he was over at my sister's house having dinner, and he told my mom and my sister Lisa, he said, I'm going to call Joel and see if he'll speak for me this Sunday. My mom said, John, you're wasting your time. Joel is not a minister. So anyway, my dad called me, and Monday evening, I remember it like it was yesterday. He said, Joel, why don't you give me a weekend off this Sunday and minister for me? And I kind of laughed and I said, you know, Daddy, I'm honored that you would think that much of me, but, you know, I'm just not a preacher. And, you know, he never pressured me. And so we hung up the phone. About a minute later, I felt something so strong on the inside. It said, Joel, you need to do it. And I don't know how to explain it, but you probably felt stuff before. You just know that you know that you know you're supposed to do it. I didn't want to, but I called him back and said, you know what, Daddy, I changed my mind. I'll preach for this Sunday. And of course, my mom and Lisa, they nearly passed out. I was going to preach my first sermon in 36 years. Well, that was a Monday. Can I be honest? That was the most miserable week of my life. I so dreaded having to get up here on, what is that, the other church, but dreaded to get up here. I even told Victoria, don't talk to me until Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. I said, I'm going to do this one time and make my father proud. Well, that Friday, my father had to go into the hospital. He had some complications from the dialysis. And so he couldn't be there on the Sunday to hear me speak. So we hooked him up by telephone. 1999, we didn't quite have the internet like today. And so he was listening. So I got up there on Sunday morning. I was so nervous. My first thought was, what is everybody doing staring at me? Because I'd never seen it from that perspective. And I felt like I had to hold on to the podium. Well, I did my best. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. Told some funny stories about my family. Finally got the message finished. I was so relieved. I told Victoria, let's go up to the hospital and see what my dad thought. He got to hear me preach my first sermon. The nurses stopped me in the hall and said, Joel, we've never seen your dad so proud. He's just beaming with joy. Well, little did I know that would be the last Sunday of my father's life. That next Friday, he had a heart attack and went to be with the Lord. Well, my dad and I were best of friends. I mean, I did everything with my dad. We traveled the world together. We go watch the Astros, the Rockets play basketball. And, you know, and all of a sudden my dad was gone. And, you know, he was my hero. And, you know, I was kind of naive. My dad was 77. I thought he'd live to be 150 years old. You know what I mean? Just your hero there. And first couple of days, you know, if you've ever lost somebody, I was kind of like in a fog. I thought, man, I can't believe my dad is gone. That was on a Friday. About Monday, I felt that same feeling that said, Joel, you need to step up and pastor the church. Everything in my mind said, Joel, are you crazy? You've spoken one time for your father. Now you're going to take over his 10,000-member church. Everything said I couldn't do it. But can I tell you, I've learned you can either talk yourself out of your dream or you can talk yourself into your dream. I didn't think I could do it. I'm telling you, there were many There were many Saturday nights I'd go look at myself in the mirror and say, Joel, you are well able. You are strong in the Lord. You can do what you're called to do. I've learned if you don't talk to yourself, yourself will talk to you. I don't know if that's good English, but that's what I mean. Anyway, you know, those thoughts will play. Well, you know, we never dreamed the church would grow. I didn't tell anybody it's going to become the pastor. I just told my mom. I said, how about I'll start speaking these next few Sundays? But never dreaming the church would go, would grow. You know, we thought if we could maintain what my parents had built, we would be doing fine. But, you know, I look up today, 20 years later, being here with all of you, and I think, you know what? This is a testimony of the faithfulness of God, that God is in control, that He's got you in the palm of His hand. See, I recognize I'm reaping a lot of seeds that my parents have sown. You know, my mom and dad put me 40 years down the road. People look at me, Joel, you got that big church. I said, yeah, but if you had a 40-year head start. You know, and I just give you a couple of principles. I'm not going to bore you tonight. I'll give you a couple of principles. What I've learned through the transition. Well, let me just start with this. I don't have any notes, so y'all may be scattered. But one thing is, you know, you may be doing some stuff and not be seeing a lot of progress. Well, how do you know you're not laying the foundation for your children to do something great? You know, my mom and dad, they saw growth. They saw God's goodness, but they didn't see this kind of favor. And see, I can't take credit for it all because I know it's the sovereignty of God. It's just the goodness of God. And it's people being faithful, sowing seeds right where they are. Well, my dad and I, as I said, we were best friends. And I used to tell Victoria, what am I going to do when my dad's gone? You know, because my dad was, you know, my world was kind of built a lot around him. But I say this very respectfully. What I thought would be my darkest hour, the loss of my dad, it launched me into my brightest hour. It launched me into what I'm doing today. So, you know, the principle is we all go through loss in life. You know, it's a part of life. Lose a loved one, lose a job, lose a relationship. It's easy to get discouraged and sink down into self-pity or bitterness and think, man, it'll never be what it was. But let me tell you this. When God closes one door, He's always going to open up another door. But I've learned this. You got to keep moving forward. You know, I think the scripture says that every day of our life has been written in God's book. And you know, I think what happens a lot of times is, you know, we go through a tough time, a loss. God, why did this happen? You know what happens? We get stuck on that page. You know, my encouragement is to turn the page. There's another chapter in front of you if you'll keep moving forward. When you do that, you'll see God begin to do things that you never dreamed. You know, and yeah, I still miss my dad, but I know this was all a part of the plan of God. Let's see, I had something else good, y'all, but it just left. I don't know what it was. Here's what it was. So, you don't see this on TV, do you? But here's what it was. You know, if my dad was still here, I wouldn't be up here. You know why? I was comfortable behind the scenes. I liked being back here. Didn't want to have to get up. I didn't want to have to stretch. Didn't want to have to get out of my comfort zone. But you know what I've learned? Sometimes God will push you into your destiny. Sometimes God will, you know, God will close some doors. That's why you can't fight everything you don't like in life. You got to say, God, my life is in your hands. I may not understand everything. Yeah, I'd love for my dad to still be here, but we don't understand it all. You just keep moving forward. A couple other things. You know, so when I worked behind the scenes those 17 years, my dad had a half-hour program like we do today. So when my dad would minister, he would speak for like 40 minutes. So me being the editor, I would have to listen to that sermon four or five times and figure out how I could cut it down to 25 minutes. So I'd have to hear my dad's train of thoughts. I would hear all those stories, all those scriptures. I realize now God was getting me prepared back then for what I'm doing today. So here's the principle. You keep being faithful where you are. You don't know where God's going to take you in the future. You don't know what kind of doors God's going to open for you. See, I know a lot of you say like me, well, Joel, you know, I'm just a TV producer. I'm just a school teacher. I'm just a student. I'm just a business person. You're not just anything. You're a child of the Most High God. He has breathed His life and purpose and destiny into you. You keep being faithful and watch what God will do.
Doesn't that guy look like a straight-up devil when he talks? All that was a motivational speaking. That's all that was. One, motivational speaking. Right? All it is motivational. That's it. And I'm going to show you something. Just like this thread over here. Somebody's offended because of something that I said. I get it. Because I'm not a smooth talker like this devil is. Right? Not a smooth talker like this devil is. But they'll be more mad about something I described as a bunch of jungle music that has voodoo beats. Dancing around that has nothing to do with God. Right? I don't, I'm going to tell you something right now that it doesn't matter what color you are. If you dance around like that, then I'll tell you, you look like a monkey dancing around like that. You look like a fool. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're orange. Stop dancing around like a stinking monkey then. Stop doing it. Stop playing jungle beats. Stop playing the devil's music. Stop acting like a devil then. If you can't handle that, grow up. Grow up! Stop acting like that! Stop acting like you're filled with devils and swinging from trees! Stop acting like that! Does that offend you? Well, then get right with God. Stop acting like that! Do you get to act that way? Let me ask you something. Do you get to act that way because you're black? Do you get a different gospel? Do you get to profane the name of my God? Do you get to take the worship of my God and turn it into some ceremonial, African ceremonial jungle music? Do you get to do that? Do you get to blaspheme my God with your garbage? No, you don't. I don't care what color you are. And if you care more about your color than you do God, then you're going to die and go to hell. If you care more about what color you are, and you take pride in your color more than you do in your God, then that's why you're offended. That's why you're offended. That's it. You're offended because of that. Exactly. It's edifying to tell you that jungle music is wicked as hell, and the beats from jungle music, you know what they do? They stir up devils. That's what they do. Am I supposed to not say that because you're black? Am I supposed to not say that because you're black? Oh, well, you're black, so you can sin, and I'm not supposed to touch your sin. Why? Think about it. It's okay for you. I'm not allowed to say anything at all. Listen, in my sermon yesterday, I said Eminem is a better rapper than any black person ever, and he jumps around and acts the same way. So what's it matter if he's white or black? Who cares? The real thing you should have been offended about is that all these people are being deceived into hell. All of them. Right? All of them. And I'm going to say it again. I think they look like a bunch of voodoo monkeys running around dancing to a beat that is satanic. That's what I think they look like. I don't care if that makes you mad. You can stop listening to me. You can call the Pope in Rome. You can hate me for it. It's not godly worship. It's not from the Word of God. It's not biblical at all. What is it? It's exactly what has attacked America and turned it the way it is. A bunch of satanic garbage. And it ain't because of their color either. It don't matter what color they are. It matters the fact that the Word of God is blasphemed with it. That's what it matters. But see, here's the thing. We've so set everything culturally the way that it is today that today if you say anything about anybody of any color, if you say anything at all, then you're a racist. And that's just what you are. But the problem is, it's still a bunch of jungle music. That's exactly what it is. That's what it is. Why don't you trace where it came from? Why don't you trace where it came from? Why don't you do the history on it? Why don't you study where it came from? Study why things like that happen today. Why the culture shift? Why all this stuff? And why is Kanye able to do what he's doing now? Why? That's exactly right, Nehemiah. That's exactly right. That's true. Yes, Jesus did call Herod a fox. Go tell that fox. He also said some are horses and some are mules. He said, be not as the braying ass. Oh, yeah. See, I'm not an evolutionist. I don't believe that certain races of people haven't evolved yet. Nope. I believe every man has a living soul. And if you're acting like a braying ass, I'll tell you're acting like a braying ass. If you're acting like a stubborn mule, then I'll tell you're acting like a stubborn mule. What's wrong with that? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So it goes. Of course they are. But when you're looking to be offended by something, this is the time, this is the place that we live. This is the country we live in now. That everything's deemed racist. Hang on a second. You never heard of a drunken monkey? You never heard of a dancing monkey? You never heard of any of those things? Really? Monkeys do dance. So why do you think martial artists did moves like drunken monkeys and things like that? Whatever. It doesn't matter. The bottom line, it doesn't matter. All men are sinners, all men are guilty before God, and all men are going to die and go to hell. Some act like a bunch of asses, some act like a bunch of mules, some strut like a peacock, and some dance like monkeys, okay? Whatever, like monkeys swinging through trees, okay? So it doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter. But what does matter is the fact that Satan wants to use that to take away from what we're talking about here. So I'm done with George Donovan, who's acting like, you know, he's Mr. Righteous and he's never said anything that would offend somebody at all. So I just got rid of him, which is fine. But here's the point. The point is that worship is straight voodoo worship out of the jungle, straight shamanism, all of it. That's what it is. And now it's being brought into the churches. It's being popularized. Right? That's what it is. That's what's happening. You can say whatever you want to, but it's just the truth. I'm just man enough to say what other people are thinking, what they won't say. That's just what it is. And you and I have to be able to be big boys and big girls. And not lose it when somebody makes a comparison of something. But unfortunately, that's the way that it is. But here's Joel Osteen's, this is why Kanye came here.
Dude, another thing. Got two or three more, y'all. Keep coming, Lord. Here we go. Another thing. So when my father passed, he had pastored Lakewood for 40 years. When I got up to minister, I knew everyone in the audience had come because of my father. And so I thought I needed to be like my father. Of course, I loved my dad and I respected him. And so I tried to preach like my father and lead like my father and do like my father. And, you know, I say this all respectfully, but you can't. There's not an anointing on your life to be somebody else. There's an anointing to be you. You got to be who God has called you to be. And see, I used to think I had to have a long scripture reading to start off because, you know what, people are not going to think I'm spiritual. And that's how my dad had done it a lot. And I did my best. You know, I didn't know what I was doing the first 6 months or so. But about 6 months in, I realized that my gift was to encourage people.
That his gift was to encourage people. Oops. Anyway, so he says his gift was to encourage people. So basically what you have here is you have a moving forward of the same thing that Kanye is saying. That you don't have to be scriptural. You don't have to be scriptural. You don't need long scripture references. You don't need any of those things. right? You don't need any of those things. You just need to be you. Right? You just need to be you. So, think about that. Think about the fact that what Olsen is really doing, what he's really teaching, is self-help guru things. That's what he's teaching. That's what it's all about. Anyway, when you say controversial things, that's what's going to happen. People are going to get upset with you. If you talk like this, nobody's going to be mad at you.
And how do you forgive? And how do you know about the goodness and love of God? And it wasn't necessarily, you know, I'm not as a traditional pastor as my father. So I had to accept that, God, this is who you made me to be. And I had to kind of get out of that mold of what everybody else wanted me to be. When I stepped into my own anointing, that's when the church began to grow. That's when stuff began to take off. So I just encourage you tonight, you are anointed to be you. Nobody can beat you at being you. You know why this is, you know, this is not hard for me to do tonight. I mean, I study and prepare, but I'm not up here as a performer. I'm just up here as being me. You know what's hard? Trying to be somebody else. I encourage you to walk in your own shoes. Yeah, you're going to get... Well, that's another subject. Anyway, let's walk in your own shoes. Let's see, I had one more thing, y'all. Oh, yeah, that one just leads into it. So, when I was behind the scenes... Y'all better be glad I prepared for Sundays. But when I was behind the scenes, you know... When nobody knew me, I had a lot. I mean, all my friends loved me. But as God begins to promote you and take you higher, can I tell you? You know where I'm going. You know, not everybody can handle your success. And you know, not everybody was designed to be in your life forever. You know, sometimes, and this was hard for me because, you know, my personality is I want everybody to like me. You know, I'll go mow your lawn. I'll go buy you dinner after service. You know, it's just my personality. And it was hard all of a sudden to look up and to think, wow, people don't like me. You know, some people don't. I mean, some people do. But you know what? It's like, you know, I'm talking about the goodness of God. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But you know what I've learned? That everybody is not supposed to be for you. You can't reach your destiny with everybody being for you.
That's right. You can't reach your destiny with everybody being for you. It's all about Joel. So basically, we don't need to hear any more of it. Basically, what it does is tells us that these people have this self-help guru, different spirit, transforming traditional Christianity that's found in the Word of God, transforming it into something else. They are transcending. They are transforming. They are transformers. That's exactly what the direction they're going. So, anyway... That's it, and it's going to continue to go that way. And unfortunately, that's the way things go. This is the New Age teaching of Joel Osteen and Kanye West and Kim Kardashian and all the others that are involved with this. And I believe it's satanically led. I believe it has something to do with that. Anyway. So, let's see. I'm sure I've made a ton of people mad over here at me. I'm sure I'm a racist now and everything else, I guess, I saw. Let's see. Well, it actually, Andrew, it was over in the jungles a long time ago. It's been there since the fall of man, really. Anyway. Let's see. Life and death in the tongue. That's right, it is. Absolutely. So how is... Was Jesus, when he called Herod a fox, was he speaking death to him, or was he telling him the truth? You know why? Task Me Later says, do you actually believe Jesus wants you to criticize people like this? Well, yes, he says to reprove false doctrine. Let's see, spirit of offense, yep. I know, and listen, I know it's abrasive to say things like that, but that's what it looks like. It reminds me, when I was a lost man and I watched The Jungle Book, that's what it reminds me of. It has nothing to do with their color, it has everything to do with what they're doing. It has nothing to do with the color of the person's skin. Let's see. Let's see here. I'm just looking through the comments here, see if there's anything. Yeah, there are a lot of people on here today. A lot of people are going to be mad at me, I'm sure. Yeah, it should say it all that Kanye hooked up with him. Yes, that's true. Somebody said, didn't John the Baptist call the Pharisees vipers and snakes? He certainly did. He certainly did. But he wasn't allowed to do that, was he? Right? I mean, Jesus called the Gentile woman a dog. Right? And she owned it. Did she not? Right, Google monkeys dancing. It's right. I mean, obviously, I don't believe in evolution. It's just stupid. African beats from Africa have witchcraft and voodoo in it. That's right, they do. Let's see. No. I it's okay, Danielle. I understand. I wasn't saying it to offend people needlessly. That wasn't the point. I heard that Joel Osteen's father was a good pastor, actually. I don't know much about him, but wow. Yeah, Goya, a dog. Yep. Yep, that's true. Wow, really? I didn't know that, Andrew, about the Sundance and things. Let me see, Carl. I didn't see that. Let's see here. Why are they standing in an eye? Good I know exactly. Yep. Yeah, Kanye is definitely making merchandise of people. He's definitely doing that. Let's see here. Satan definitely is using Kanye. Was Elijah abrasive? Was John the Baptist? Yes, many of them were abrasive. And I think you take the whole context of everything, though. I mean, look, this is a 2.5-hour broadcast, and not every word that I said was abrasive at all. You know, it's just, I think there's a balance that has to be there. Wow, yeah, Osteen is something. He is. Let's see. Anyway, so, well, I don't know. I know that people get upset about any racial thing, anything they perceive to be racial anyway. It's sad, but that's the world we live in. But you know what? That doesn't mean sometimes things don't need to be said. And sure, I mean, I could have not said it. I mean, it's just as easy as I could have said it. But to me, it's not that big of a deal. It shouldn't be anyway, because the truth of what was said is pretty accurate. But, yep, definitely there's a lot to talk about drums and things of that nature. So anyway, I can go through the whole music thing, but if you study the history, where did all that music come from? I've done it. Go back and listen to my series on rock music. I've done all the work. You know, I've done all the studies on rock music. I've put in the time. And you should go listen to it. But anyway. Anyway, I'm going to get off here. I'll show you some pictures on Wednesday of my vacation. I didn't have time to do that, but well, that's what I meant it to be was true. I didn't, you know, that's my focus. So it wouldn't matter to me who it was doing it. It doesn't matter at all. In fact, to be honest with you, more white people act like that. Do you know who buys most rap music albums? Suburban white kids. Did you know that? Suburban white kids dance around like a bunch of monkeys. They do that. They're the ones that support the rap industry, is suburban white kids. So look it up. You'll see. I didn't go to Lou Malnati's. I went to Giordano's, and we did have a good time with Brother Mike and his family, and we were blessed by that. But by the way, if you do a check on that, you study it out and you'll find I was one of those kids. Listen to me. I had NWA. I had Run DMC. I had BC Boys. I had Ice Cube, Ice-T. I had Dr. Dre, Tupac. I listened to all of it. I was the suburban white kid that bought all the albums. I didn't know nothing about Straight Outta Compton. I was straight out of Kelowna, Illinois, in a little town, in a little country town. That's what I'm telling you, and I ran around acting like an idiot. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I mean, I could prove it to you. I mean, all of it. Like, I had all Tupac's records. I had his CDs. I had it all, man. I had his double CD. I shouldn't say all of them. I had his double CD re-release and all that other stuff back in the day, back in the 90s. I had all of it. Yeah, but the lyrics do target blacks, but the people that supported it were white suburban kids. Look it up. The CIA and everybody knew what they were doing with all that. I did wear baggy pants, man. It's funny, man. I mean, anyway, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get off here. I'm gonna do my next broadcast on the flat earth in a NASA t-shirt. That's what I'm gonna do. So, anyway. Yeah, I'm dead serious. Anyway, all right, I gotta go. Take care, guys.